You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Last April, U.S. District Judge Kimberly J. Mueller held a hearing to determine whether marijuana should remain a federal Schedule I drug, a classification which labels marijuana as having no medicinal purpose. Although studies about the medical benefits of marijuana suggest that might not be true, in the end, the judge decided not to overturn federal law. While 23 states have legalized medical marijuana, the drug's classification as Schedule I means that pharmaceutical testing of it is all but impossible in this country. Wired contributing editor Fred Bogelstein found this out when he was searching for a way to help his son, who suffers from epilepsy. He's called his article about it that appears in the July issue of Wired magazine, Boy Interrupted, and I'm very pleased that he joins us now. Hello, Fred.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
How old was Sam when he started having seizures?
Oh, about 4.5. And then things got marked. We controlled them pretty quickly after that. And then things got markedly worse when he was about 6 in first grade.
And how often would they occur?
Oh, at their worst, every 3 to 5 minutes. You know, sometimes more than 10 an hour.
And throughout the whole day?
Most of the day, yeah. I think that, I mean, to be clear, Sam doesn't have the kind of epilepsy that most of us associate with epilepsy. So most of us think of epilepsy as grand mal seizures, which, and if you were having 10 grand mal seizures, I don't think it would be possible to have 10 grand mal seizures an hour. Sam has something called petit mal epilepsy, and so his events only last about 10 or 15 seconds. But
what do they look like?
If you're having 10 or 20 an hour, they can be very, very, very disruptive.
What do they look like?
They look a little bit like he's been possessed by the devil, honestly, to me. But I think if you were to talk about it more clinically, his eyes roll back in his head, his body, his jaw slackens, he bobs rhythmically a little bit from the waist. It's strange to look at. You'd think I'd be used to it after the tens of thousands that I think I've seen at this point, but I'm not. They are alarming as the first one I saw. But, you know, the only thing that, like, is what is different about this kind of epilepsy from many other forms is that once he finishes, he goes back to what he's doing. So, you know, if he's packing his backpack, he'll keep doing that. If he's playing catch, he'll keep doing that. If he's in the middle of a sentence, he'll keep doing that. It's a little bit like hitting the pause button on a DVD player, honestly.
And that's why you called your article Boy Interrupted. But I assume that they don't cause him pain because of that.
No. He says he's sometimes aware when he's having a seizure, but they're not painful. But it's a little bit like, I think we all have been on the receiving end of a bad cell phone connection. I think that's a pretty good analogy. I mean, imagine being a kid and trying to take in life and all the things that it's trying to teach you on the end of a bad cell phone connection. It becomes hard to kind of stay connected to much of anything.
When he started going to school, were these seizures affecting his ability to learn or to keep up in class?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, he's also dyslexic, so he goes to a school for kids who are dyslexic in San Francisco, which is a delightful place. But you know, I think that, you know, when they've been bad, it's been very, very hard for him to learn. I mean, we've had to keep him out of school. I haven't kept track of how many days that we've had to keep him out of school, but, you know, you can't send a kid to school who's seizing every 5 minutes. It's no matter what you tell teachers, it's just too alarming.
So what treatments did you try at first?
Oh, I think the proper question is, what treatments didn't we try? I mean, I think that, you know, when your kid has been, there are, you know, there's a whole battery of anti-epileptic drugs that have been created over the course of the past, especially over the course of the past 25 years. And I don't think we tried all of them, because I think there's some that are actually that actually make his kind of seizures worse. But we tried all the ones that are supposed to be helpful, and I think that that was probably close to 24 of them.
Did they? Most of them have side effects?
Oh yeah, I mean anti-epileptic drugs are. Known for, I mean, all drugs that have an impact on brain function are known for their heavy side effects, and you know, we were no exception. I mean, whether or not you're talking about drugs for Parkinson's or Alzheimer's or any kind of brain issue, you know, the problem with drugs that affect brain function is that we haven't gotten to the point where we can actually target the specific neurons that and synapses that have the impact on stuff as effectively as we'd like to. So you get side effects. So, you know, Sam had one drug, gave him hand tremors. Another drug made him a zombie and drool a little bit. Another drug, this was the best one. Another drug actually made him think that he was, made him hallucinate. It actually made him think that he was seeing bugs and worms crawling out of his skin.
What about corticosteroids?
So corticosteroids are something that we discovered really in some kind of in desperation. You know, corticosteroids, prednisone is the one that most people know about, are synthetic versions of the body's own anti-inflammatory mechanisms. And if you've had asthma, or a really bad case of asthma, or had cancer, or any kind of major inflammatory issue, you probably know a little bit about these things, because if you take them for a week or two, they work like magic. They have the short-term side effect of making people a little jumpy, but they also make issues that seem hard to treat go away almost instantaneously. The problem is that if you're on them for a long, long time, as we were, they have much more severe side effects. But we figured out purely accidentally, Sam got a rash from a medication in 2008, I think, that he tried. And the doctor, and the medication didn't stop his seizures, but gave him a head-to-toe body rash. So the doctor prescribed prednisone to make the rash go away. And we noticed that when he was on prednisone, his seizures also went away too. And so when we'd run out of all other typical medication options to treat his epilepsy, we said, maybe we should try steroids. And the good news is that they actually worked. The bad news is that they only worked in enormous doses, like 80 to 100 milligrams a day. And after you've been on a dose like that for a month, you start developing all kinds of fairly visible side effects, like your face looks like it starts to be like it's been pumped up full of air and, you know, all sorts of other, you know, you gain weight. It was a great short-term solution, an impossible long-term solution.
Fred Vogelstein is my guest. His article, Boy Interrupted, is in the July issue of Wired magazine. I assume that all this medication was being paid for by medical insurance.
Yes. I think that, you know, but I think that, so medical insurance paid for all the typical medical, all the standard medical insurance, medical insurance paid for all the standard medications, including prednisone. It did not pay for what we decided to do after that.
Well, you live in California where medical marijuana is legal, and I've heard over the years that marijuana does work in treating epilepsy. So is that what made you decide to try it?
We'd heard. The answer is yes. I mean, we'd heard. I mean, remember, we were, people are talking, you have to take your head and go back like 3 or 4 years. You know, marijuana and epilepsy have been mentioned in the same sentence many, many, many times now in the past 2 years, really since 2013, I think. When we were thinking about this, this was back into 2011 and 2012, before Colorado legalized recreational use of marijuana. It had been legal for medicinal purposes in California since the late 1990s, but what we quickly discovered was that whole market wasn't designed for kids like Sam. I mean, it was designed for people who wanted cannabis to deal with some of the better known uses, medical uses for cannabis, such as nausea and pain and the issues associated with THC, which is the psychoactive ingredient in cannabis.
Now, you didn't want your kids smoking pot either, I imagine.
Say that again?
You didn't want your kids smoking pot. He was 10 years old.
Yes, I didn't want my kids smoking pot at 10.
So there's CBD. What's that?
So CBD, it turns out that cannabis has more than 500 different compounds in it that we know about. THC is the one that everybody knows about because that's the compound that gets you high. I'd love to try to pronounce that for your listeners, but I think that would make all the medical establishment up in arms, so I'm not going to try to do that. But the second best known compound in cannabis is something called cannabidiol, which is CBD. Originally, so people have known about CBD since the 1960s, but it wasn't until fairly recently, like I would say in the past 10 years, that people thought it did anything or had any kind of uses. I think for a long time people thought it was inert. And I think that over the course of the past 5 to 10 years, people have started to understand that CBD actually isn't inert and it has all kinds of medicinal uses. The one that's getting the most attention is its use in treating epilepsy. It seems to be a powerful anti-epileptic.
But can you get it in this country? Because you wound up going to a drug company in the UK.
Well, so a lot of people ask me this question because, and to be honest, we asked ourselves this question a lot. A lot of people ask me, you know, why we needed to go to the UK to get cannabis when we lived in California? And the answer is actually more straightforward than you might think. For starters, even in California, where medicinal cannabis was legal, trying to get anything that was high in CBD was very, very difficult. Trying to get anything that was high in CBD that you could actually rely on from dose to dose and bottle to bottle was next to impossible. We could have gotten Sam. People have been treating their seizures along with other illnesses with cannabis for thousands of years. There was a period of time in the 1920s when cannabis was actually legal in this country and prescribed by doctors, and alcohol was illegal. But believe it or not, even in California, trying to get a reliable supply of high CBD cannabis that my kid didn't actually have to smoke was impossible. We tried for like 6 months. Now it's certainly possible today.
But you had to convince this company
in 2012. It was not at all.
You had to convince this company in the UK to help you, and they customized the pills for your son.
Yes. So we. I'm trying to think back about how we wound up getting to them. You know, we'd been trying to, so the company GW Pharmaceuticals has been in business for a decade, and they've actually been working on trying to make drugs from cannabis in the UK since 1998 or 1999. They were able to do that there because back in the late 1990s, the folks in the UK decided that it didn't make sense to be throwing people with MS and cancer in jail for smoking pot. And so they decided to actually let a drug company see if there were actually medicines that could be produced to help these people. And so this company, GW, managed to get this license. That didn't go on here in the United States. And so...
So you had to fly with Sam to London to get the pills initially, and they had attached several conditions before they gave you access. But then how do you get it back into the United States? Wouldn't it have been seized by DEA agents?
We went to London and tried the pills that the company had made, and they worked almost overnight. And Sam actually was nearly seizure free within 3 or 4 days, with almost no side effects. And I mean, it was really the most incredible thing that I think we'd seen. We hadn't seen a medicine work like this in the 7 years that we'd been treating Sam. But the condition that we agreed to when we embarked on this crazy adventure was that we would do everything above board, by the book. And so the company, GW, is a public company, and they weren't going to risk letting us take stuff from the UK back into the US and risk having it get seized by the DEA. So they said, we'll help you, but you have to figure out a way to get clearance from both the FDA and the DEA for us to be able to import this into the United States.
And that must have been a complicated process. I'm imagining this whole thing got quite expensive. But since you've gone through this process, is it now easier for other families to gain access to CBD medication in the United States? Because your son isn't the only son who has this problem.
No. And in fact, the only there are now about 1,400 kids who are part of medication trials that GW has started at what will be by the end of this year about 50 hospitals in the UK and the US. I don't think that we would have gone public to talk about what we did had that not taken place. I mean, what we did was very expensive, and we feel fortunate that we were actually able to afford to do it. But one of the things that we kept asking the company when we were in the middle of it was, you know, you should really consider, we don't really want to be the only people who you try this on. I hope you're thinking about trying to do this with other kids. We didn't actually think that they would take us seriously, but after they saw the way things worked with Sam, they decided to meet with a bunch of people in the, a bunch of doctors and researchers and regulators in the U.S. to try to see if they could get it going here. And the results of those conversations led to small trials at five hospitals and have now expanded into what are now phase three studies that could ultimately wind up getting this into Walgreens in the next 3 years.
Fred Vogelstein's article, Boy Interrupted, is in the current issue of Wired magazine. Thank you so much for being on our show.
Thank you so much for having me.